Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm AJ Zarian. I'm joined by the EVOO to my tanning, Rich Stambolian.
What's going on? What does that mean?
I just tan with olive oil now.
Ah, oh, jeez. Oh, my God. That's terrible, dude.
That's what I'm doing. I'm pulling a Cosmo Kramer. A butter's next. I'm just oiling up. Dude, it's awesome. I put a little EVOO on me. Grill a little bit of little tomatoes on my belly and some onions, and I'm good.
I feel like if you actually did that, you'd have to go to the hospital.
You think so?
I think you'd start sizzling.
No, I do actually put olive oil on.
Like how much?
I rub my whole body down in olive oil. That's the only way you could tan. What am I, a mark? I'm going to go and buy tanning lotion?
Is that how you get the steak seared that's on covering your crotch?
Yes. And Honky Tonk Man told me that's how I should tan. Honky told me. Guys, a lot to talk about today. This is a show all about professional wrestling. We have a lot of shows coming up. We got a pay-per-view tonight, Impact Slammiversary. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you guys a preview to that. Gallows and Anderson have officially announced that they are signed with Impact. They've signed a 2-year deal with Impact. We're going to talk about that. Talking Shop is back. They did one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe yesterday they did a couple very long couple of hours of a lot of detail coming out of that. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, the horror show at Extreme Rules this Sunday. We're going to break down that card as well. I was thinking I'm not committing to it, but maybe if I do a watch along, would you call in?
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably do that. Do you want me to like call in like as myself, or do you want me to make a character up?
Oh, you want to make a character up?
Maybe.
No, I mean like do you want to, I don't know. I'm not committing to it because I don't know where my day's going. But yeah, I'm very impressed by the Slammiversary card. I know exactly where my day's going.
Me too. You're going to tan, you're going to get drunk, and you're going to throw up on yourself and then use that as tanning lotion.
That's it. That's the only way to do it. AEW NXT this week, Raw, SmackDown last night. So I'll talk about SmackDown from last night a little bit, Rich. Did you watch it? Did you watch SmackDown?
I was tuning in here and out. My brother actually came to visit. I haven't seen him since like Christmas. So, not so much.
Well, I'll tell you, the beginning, the opening was the best part of SmackDown.
Matt Riddle, AJ Styles?
No, what they did, it was like an old school. Like, you remember how Saturday Night's main event was where they would have the guys cutting a promo straight at the camera talking about their opponents?
Love it.
For the night, that's exactly how they opened the show. Very much like that. I a lot of good praise about it. It was a very different opening.
Mm-hmm.
Rumblings are going on that Bruce Pritchard is not very happy right now. Something happened this week.
Okay.
I don't know if he came down because of the terrible ratings or what, but I don't know how much of a hand he had in that intro. When I saw it, initially everybody's like, well, it looks like Bruce is not writing that show. I'm like, this was a very Bruce opening because it's a Saturday night main event opening.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I thought it was a solid opening. And that's about it. There really was, it was like a one match show, really. It was the AJ Styles match and it was pretty good except for the ending with Baron Corbin.
Right.
So. Right. I don't know.
You kind of call that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Where do you want to start? Rich, you pick something. You want to talk about AEW a little bit?
Let's do a little AEW. I thought this week's Fight for the Fallen was really, really good, really solid. Like, it was some of the quickest 2 hours of wrestling I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, very good show.
NXT was okay. I do feel like there's, I don't know what kind of bump they're hitting, but like it's just like not as it's not as entertaining as it was like a few months ago.
Well, you know what's funny about them, about NXT? It's the only show that hasn't really suffered because of the quarantine, because they always broadcast from Full Sail. Right.
So, right.
And it's always a smaller audience and it's always the same shots. It's always the same angles. So I find that fascinating that there's a bump in the road for them when it comes to like the overall aesthetic of it, because this is what the show looks like always. Obviously some modifications, but now they have a couple people in that building. I don't feel like watching it. The show, like the aesthetic has suffered as much as the other shows, but man, they got to do something. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something like a little, like there's something missing that I can't quite put my finger on that makes it like, that'll take it to like where it should be for me. But also like, I've been a little disenfranchised with WWE for the last few months, you know? So maybe that has something to do with it, like the overall stigma and aura surrounding my thoughts on the company.
Yeah, I think that's for everybody, right?
Yeah.
But do your thoughts at the company get impacted on NXT, or is it just WWE? Is it, you know, the whole general thing?
I think
thing?
It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing, you know? But again, who knows what the reality of the situation is. I just know that their television has not been as entertaining as it used to be.
Yeah, and AEW's been doing a great job, even with the bad wrestling.
Right, yeah, right.
I just feel it's charming. AEW's fresh and it's different, so a lot of the staleness doesn't exist, even when they do bad TV. Because I don't feel that they put on a great show every week, but for the most part, their show is consistently decent. It's consistently good. I thought it was, I think it's interesting how they're playing the Butcher and the Blade stuff with FTR and the Bucks. You know, their tag division is stacked right now.
Is it the best in the world at this point?
Oh, yeah. They have the best tag division. Hands down. It's interesting to see how it would have been impacted by, for lack of a better term, by Gallows and Anderson if they had decided to go to AEW. That's a very interesting story on their decision not to go over there and go to Impact, which we'll, you know, we'll see what happens with that. By the way, Butcher and the Blade and the Bucks are facing off. It's a false count anywhere match this Wednesday. So very interesting. They're doing a good job with this. So let's, before we dive into Slammiversary and the pay-per-views this weekend, Gallows and Anderson are doing Talking Shop again. Did you hear any of it?
From the last few weeks, like, because I know they've been doing like half an hour shows and then guiding people towards their Patreon, but they've been teasing the episode that's supposed to come out tomorrow, which is their tell-all about their re-signing and hating the fact that they signed their contracts with WWE again. And
well, it's out.
Anderson getting, oh, it's out, really?
Yeah, it's out. It's out.
Ooh, okay, I gotta listen to that. I gotta go.
Yeah, see you later. it was on Patreon, the 717 Boozing with the Boys podcast. So Gallows and Anderson, and AJ Styles was on the show, by the way, which is very interesting. AJ on via Zoom.
Hey, Mayan.
Very interesting. So essentially what happened was Gallows and Anderson addressed the rumors about the Paul Heyman situation that I think we broke that story. Right? That Paul Heyman and AJ Styles had a big falling out.
That they were butting heads, yeah.
Yeah. So, Gallows and Anderson on their Patreon last night addressed all the rumors surrounding Paul Heyman and what happened about. And essentially, they all said that Paul Heyman is a liar. Anderson said that Heyman told him that if I ever lie to you, blow me up on social media. AJ was mad that Gallows and Anderson weren't on the list to get cut until Heyman spoke up about how much money they were making. So these guys were not going to get fired. And Paul Heyman interjected talking about their salaries and reminding people that these guys get paid $750,000 a year. And that if they're looking to chop, maybe start with that. AJ was told before anybody that Gallows and Anderson were getting released and believes Heyman lied to him and said that he had nothing to do with it. AJ also said that he was told that Heyman brought it up that they should be cut. AJ wanted to stay on Raw because it allowed him to attend his son's football games on Friday night. So think about how much of an issue there had to have been for AJ Styles to want to go to Fridays. AJ then called Heyman a turd. AJ said he's happy. He's happy with the company, but got pissed off at the situation that they were having. He's still he's still really mad that his friends got fired.
That sucks.
Yeah,
but you know what? Like, those are three dudes that it doesn't matter who they talk shit about, they will have success in any company that they will go to. Like if they sacked AJ Styles, he could show up anywhere and be an asset to whatever company he's in.
Yeah. So they have a 2-year deal with Impact, which will allow them to work in Japan. They were very close with AEW. Something happened there. I'm just going to say that something happened with AEW on... I'm not 100% confident the story is accurate that I'm hearing, so I'm not even going to divulge it. But I'll say something for sure happened that determined that they were not going there. Because there was a lot of money put on the table initially for Gallows and Anderson when their contract was up. And essentially what they did, so Hunter, during the contract negotiation, Hunter looked at Gallows, at Anderson, and said, "When I look at you, I see your kids. Do you want to sign with a company that you don't even know will be here in 2 years, or do you want to stay with us for 5 years and make sure you get paid?" And he was like, that was it. That's all he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boatload of money. I mean, they're millionaires because of this company, so they felt that they need to sign.
Right, right.
Very interesting. I find the whole thing fascinating. I highly recommend it. Our good friend Rocky was, I believe, producing these for them. Yeah. I'm going to get in touch with Rocky and see if we could work something out and maybe get the guys on the show to promote the podcast and, try to see what's going on and maybe help them out a little bit. I always like to help out these guys get their stuff together when it comes to this. I'll tell you, though, AJ Styles, my God, this guy's an effing star. I'm watching SmackDown on the TV right now. Him holding that IC title, his presence, this guy is a star. There is no doubt in my mind that this guy would have been one of the biggest stars of the 2000s if he went to WWE.
You know what? I kind of disagree with that.
You don't think I did not have that belief until recently, until seeing how this guy is just so good.
His what happened to him between TNA and New Japan, I think, was the perfect storm for his career. And then because for some reason, like, WWE always loves former Japan champions, right?
Yeah, they have a tremendous amount of respect for those guys.
Yeah, so, like, just the fact that he came in at the Rumble that year with such a reaction, I think definitely elevated him further than what they wanted. You know, I think they wanted, like, to do the build-up, tear-down thing like they did with Gallows and Anderson. Mm. Like, oh, these guys are popular somewhere else, but let's make them a Vince thing, right? With AJ,
the dude worked his ass off. Let me ask you, why do you think they do that? Like, Gallows and Anderson, great example you brought up, right? Gallows and Anderson came into that company with so much just positivity, right? Mm-hmm. When they debuted like the outsiders. They did the Bullet Club thing. There was a lot, but they couldn't pull the trigger. So what do you think happened from the time of this guy? Look, Balor's there. AJ's there. Gallows and Anderson. They could do something tremendous at the height of the Bullet Club.
Mm.
But they didn't.
Yeah. I do think it's an ego thing, especially with Vince and maybe even Hunter. Again, who knows? Saying, these guys are not my creation. I don't care about the Bullet Club. And I also may not care about these guys too much. What I think they should have done was do a 1-month thing, four days on TV. You have them all together and then just have them split. You know, that would have been great.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. I agree. Even if it's not your long-term plans, guys, I think it would have been...
Mm-hmm.
Just think of the merch they could have sold, right? Think of the marketing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, forget it.
I find it fascinating that they didn't go through it, because if you think about it, this is right up WWE's alley. It's a pre-existing brand that is selling tremendously. They did attempt to purchase the rights or lease the rights.
Right.
That was done. They were attempting to do that. They saw that this is extremely beneficial. And the way that they found out that it's beneficial is that Mattel came and Mattel was at a WWE live event. I forgot which show. It could have been SummerSlam.
It was WrestleMania.
It was WrestleMania. And for people who don't know, Mattel saw it. They're like, oh, how come we're not doing anything with this Bullet Club stuff? And WWE was like, oh, that's not us. I mean, just built in marketing, built in storyline, and they couldn't do it.
It's fascinating, too, because so I would say arguably the three biggest selling wrestling shirts of all time were Austin 316, the NWO shirt, and the Bullet Club shirt, right?
Yeah.
That's just like the classic black and white. They're the simplest designs on a black t-shirt. You would have thought
always.
You would have thought that when these guys came in, they could have been like, yo, these are your, this is like the dope shirt that you're going to be rocking, you know? But no, they don't give a shit.
Tell me a t-shirt that they've made that's just, if you think about it, maybe this is like a big, I mean, you know, you're a photographer, we're both in marketing, right? Black shirt, white font, that's it.
Yep.
Always works.
Always works. Like, NWO. Like that's the mode. Yeah.
NWO, Austin, Bullet Club.
Yep. Even that Samoa Joe shirt that I love, the first one that came out, where it just says his name and it says Samoan Submission Machine.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's it. That shirt sold out like immediately. Black and white. That's all you need.
Yeah. Talking about Submission Machine, what did you think of the main event of AEW?
Honestly, I really, really enjoyed it. I had not low expectations, but I had no expectations for that match. I usually go into watching wrestling with like close to zero expectations, depending on what it is. And I thought that match was a lot of fun. Both guys looked great. Mox, I think the match helped Moxley even more, making him look like even more of a fighting champion.
Yeah. So, the finish, for people who don't know what it was, Cage went to tap, and Taz threw in the towel.
Right.
The orange towel.
What? After he wiped his forehead with it.
After he wiped his forehead and all of his tanning solution came off. Okay. You know, protected him. What do you do here? Where do you go from here? You know, Taz, I guess, determined that he didn't want his champion to lose, which is fine. I get it. But I see, this is the big problem I think AEW has, is that they got these top tier guys. Cage is a top tier guy. Moxie, top tier guy. And they have them face off. And then obviously you want to build your champion, right? Moxley's they want to build this guy as their champion. So you got to have these guys lose that are just coming into the company, but does it hurt them? Brody Lee, for example, right? Brody Lee losing to Moxley immediately, challenging Moxley, then losing to Moxley. I don't know.
I don't think that hurt him. They're still building the Dark Order stuff, so I think that's okay. I think they want Mox to beat a consecutive number of like really big dudes.
I guess so. But who's next for him, right? Who's going to be the guy that takes the title off of him? That's now we're starting to see something. The most fascinating part has been the evolution of Kenny Omega right now, right?
Yes.
Slow burn. He's becoming the cleaner again. We saw it on the Elite the last couple of weeks where he's kind of losing it a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, which they hinted at that a while ago, too. Do you remember that when he was acting weird? A while ago. And then they kind of like slowed down on it. I think this is the way to go with him. You know, make him into the cleaner. Yeah. A likable heel. He will be a likable heel. He won't be booed. He'll be a cool guy heel like he was in New Japan. Maybe he's the guy that challenges Moxley.
I would like that. Did you get a kick out of him beating up Marco Stunt?
Loved it. I hate that little shit.
I know you do. Why do you hate him so much?
I hate Marco. I hate that little shit. Hate him. Such a little freaking turd. I was so glad he knocked his little ass on the floor.
Would you punch him in the face if he saw him?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, I hate him. I want to snap him in half. How tall is he?
He's probably less than 5 feet tall, man.
He has to be like 5'1", right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's that tall. I think he's like still in the fours. 4'10", maybe?
5'2".
Okay.
He's billed at 5'2". I think that. And then what's his brother's name?
I don't know.
It's Marco, and there's the other one.
That was a fun match, the Jurassic Express versus the Elite. I like that they're doing like a trios match like once a week.
Yeah, I like that. They're doing a good job. Yeah. The TV's interesting. I like their TV. The aesthetics are good. It looks like it's good TV. They really, the ratings went up, obviously, this week. They had a nice boost. They just got to keep it up. I think that main event of Moxley helped. Having Moxley there helped a lot. Logan Stunt. Marco and Logan. There you go. That's another one.
How did you like the Cody Sonny Kiss match?
I didn't love it as much as some other people. I thought that there was a styles clash for sure. I thought it was fine. It was a fine match. I don't think it was this blow away. Oh my God, great match. What did you think?
I liked it because it's teasing that Cody heel turn that's been coming for months, right?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think, are they teasing that all these guys now are going to turn heel?
I think you're going to get heel Kenny and heel Cody at some point, and you're going to get maybe like a couple of different face turns down the line, you know? Inner Circle will probably be kept as heels for the most part for like the next while. But I also think that after next week, you're going to see a couple of new guys show up, right? Possibly. And that's going to change.
Oh, yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But I think that being said, you're going to get some new stuff. I think they're holding off on Moxley losing that belt to either like a Kenny Omega or a new signing, you know, like if somebody that just comes in and like destroys him, establishes himself as like a bigger star. Yeah. And then you have like another back and forth for that belt, you know, because like, well, let me ask you as a wrestling fan and as an analyst of this stuff sometimes, who does Moxley feud with if he loses that belt?
Who does Moxley feud with if he loses the belt afterwards, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, at that point, then it doesn't really matter, right? Because he could feud with anybody. Mm. You could have him in feuds with essentially the whole roster. Pentagon, Hangman. I mean, you could have endless amounts of feuds for him when he doesn't have the title. The problem is you have him in this top tier, but your top tier isn't fighting for the title. So you're going to... He's in a really weird situation. What I think they need to do is have these TV matches be random guys that you want to elevate into that main roster, but aren't expected to win.
Okay.
Like, I would say, okay, you know what? Luchasaurus. I think the TV matches need to be like Luchasaurus and Moxley.
Okay.
Because now you're elevating them. Or Jungle Boy and Moxley. You know, give them the rub a little bit. And if they lose, it's understandable that they lost. I think what's happening right now is that they're, you know, Kenny is his own thing, and they have not done a great job with him over the last year, but I understand why they're going this route. Same thing with Cody. Cody, they did not put that main title on him. He has the TNT title, and I think that's going to be his thing. But other than that, you use Brody Lee already. You use Brian Cage already. Jericho is out of that picture right now. He's not going to be challenging Moxley for that title. So who else do you have that could believably defeat Moxley and take the title off of him?
Lance Archer.
Okay, but you used that match already, right? Didn't we do this?
Use that match already, Lance Archer.
Oh, no, maybe we didn't. No, we did it in Japan.
Right. That was for the U.S. title.
Which he still holds.
Right, which is pretty cool. Lance Archer would be good. I do think after the next 2 weeks when the dust settles and you'll see who shows up and who doesn't, you'll get a clearer picture. I had like this weird thought in my head where I'm like, who in your like fantasy booking wise, who would show up to either team with Moxley or go against Moxley that would just definitely rock the show and the ratings?
Oh, Necro Butcher.
Oh, didn't he die?
No, he's alive.
Okay.
He's not doing well, though. He's in terrible shape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Seth Rollins or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they have, you know, right now their roster's phenomenal.
Yes.
They have a great roster. They have a great number of talent on that roster. It's just, you know, figuring out where all the pieces go.
Right. Figuring out where the pieces go and also doing kind of like... I think they have to. I think the benefit of having Taz there is that he may still have a little bit of that Paul Heyman thing where it's like, listen, we like you guys need to like cover these guys' weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, on TV more so than anybody else. Like that was like one of the best parts of ECW was they were so self-contained that you didn't know that they weren't polished.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Cause it was so self-contained.
Right, and you were like, oh, these dudes are kicking each other's asses. And then as soon as they all went to WWE, they kind of got exposed a little bit, right?
Dude, I watch. It's so funny you bring that up. I watched Heatwave 99.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Heatwave 99, and I watched, I think, maybe November to Remember. I forgot what it was. Yo, Kevin Robinson, $10, baby. Super chat.
Thanks, bud.
Funding us here.
Thanks,
dog. So I watch it. I'm like, oh my God, these matches are just such shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was just terrible. Like everything was sloppy and just all over the place. But I think that's why it was appealing to us.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because it was sloppy and it was all over the place and it wasn't fitting a uniform. The conformity of WWE, the product of WWE, very conform, very similar style. Everybody bounces off the rope the same way. Everybody takes a bump the same way. Suplexes all look the same. Nobody derives from what they're supposed to.
But they look good on TV. That's
they look good, but they look great on TV. I think AEW right now, they look good on TV, and they're breaking that norm. And that's why it's appealing to some people. Because if you think about it, they really don't have a captivating storyline.
You mean in general?
In general. You know, like WWE does captivating storylines that even when it's corny and cheesy, everything has a story.
And what about the Orange Cassidy Jericho storyline?
I hate it. I'm over
it. But that's a captivating storyline. You don't like Orange Cassidy.
No, but it is a captivating story, but they don't do it with every element. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
WWE likes to add something. First of all, can we talk about how ridiculous? We're going to talk about Extreme Rules. The eye for an eye match? Why?
Right. Well, I think also, like, that's a weird thing, too, because I feel like that's their, like, oh, I know AEW did it, but we're going to do it better mentality, because they did that already, you know, with, like, Santana and Moxley.
I don't know. I find it so bizarre. By the way, AJ Styles last night in that Matt Riddle match, He got, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he laid in multiple kicks, AJ, to the face of Matt Riddle as hard as he could.
Good.
Have these guys worked with each other before?
I want to say no.
I'm almost convinced they did something in the UK. Almost convinced. I don't know.
That up.
I don't know. I feel like they did something in the UK. Maybe not. I don't know.
Let me look that up.
I have the main event on right now. My God, this guy, both of these guys are so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
They are very good.
Very good. All right, let's run down the card. Let's do Slammiversary 2020. With that said, I may do a watch along this evening. I don't know yet. It depends on how my day goes. And people say, how do you not know? Well, I got two small kids. So if I'm having a good day, I'll probably end up doing it. If I'm having a terrible day, I probably will not do the show. Let's run down this card. And first time in a long time, I'm very excited for an Impact show. I feel like this could bring a lot of new eyes to the product. I'm just going to say that. I'm getting the overall buzz about Impact. I don't think it's been this high in a very long time. And you're going to see this is a very stacked card. So let's go down this card. Ace Austin, Eddie Edwards, Trey, and to be determined.
Turnbuckle Dan, baby.
Turnbuckle Dan for the vacant. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you, Rich. I was getting a little worried. I wasn't going to get it today. To be determined, Turnbuckle Dan for a fatal four-way for the Impact World Championship. Tessa Blanchard vacated the title. Tessa's out of Impact. Yeah. We don't know where she's going. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings. WWE's interested. I'm hearing that Mexico. So there's a lot going on. I heard that she had a meeting with WWE already. So there's a lot of buzz around this. Who do you think Turnbuckle Dan is? Do you think it's Who do you think? I mean, obviously, it's not Rusev, right?
Rusev, EC3?
Rusev has COVID.
Oh, yeah. So EC3?
Has to be. Has to be EC3.
Ha. Yeah. EC3. Let's see. I got the card over
Who wins
here.
It? EC3 wins it?
I think EC3 wins it.
I love it.
I honestly, like, I feel like after tonight, I'm going to end up watching Impact every week because it seems like they made some acquisitions, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Jordynne Grace versus Deonna Purrazzo.
I think Deonna should win it.
That's going to be fun. Were there any female wrestlers released or no?
On that thing? I don't think so.
Okay. So nobody showing up.
From that main release, I don't think there were.
Yeah. You got Willie Mack versus Chris Bay for the X Division Championship. That should be a fun match. I like Willie Mack.
Yeah, I like Willie Mack too. That should be fun.
You have eight. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Gauntlet for Gold match to determine the number one contender for the Impact Knockouts Championship. You have Alicia Edwards, Havoc, Kira Hogan, Kimberly, Kylie Rae, Nevaeh, Madison Rayne, Rosemary. There's a lot of people. Susie, Tasha, Steeles, and Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah, big match. The Gauntlet for the gold.
You got the North versus Ken Shamrock and Sami Callihan. I think this match ends with Gallows and Anderson showing up.
Oh, and what do? They take out Ken Shamrock?
I think they take out everybody.
Okay. You know what? You may be right. Then maybe that's the moment that they show up, which I'm very
into. They take
out
everybody.
Listen, dude, anything with Ken Shamrock. Just give me Ken Shamrock.
I think they take out everybody, and then they too sweet all over the place.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. Or they aces and eights all over the place with the new hand signal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moose. I'm honestly very excited for this match. Moose versus Tommy Dreamer in an old school rules for the unsanctioned TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, so I must have missed how they got to this point. I think it's awesome that they did. Mm-hmm. The TNA World Heavyweight Championship exists in the same universe as the Impact World Heavyweight Championship, which is really funny. I'm very curious what they do with this and how they get here. So does this have the same lineage as the TNA title, or does it not have the same lineage?
I think it's the classic TNA title that was held by like AJ and Booker T and Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Right. I'm very much looking forward to this, and listen, I was wrong about my Sabu running, but it might happen tonight.
Dude, you know, I thought Sabu was showing up on AEW when the lights went off. And it was Darby Allin. I was like, oh my God, we were right. Sabu, he's here for the FTW title.
Oh, that would have been so amazing. But you know what? The Darby Allin return was pretty cool.
Darby Allin return was pretty cool. And then we have the Rascals versus To Be Determined. That's maybe where they'll show up.
You know what? Honestly, I think because this match is going to be like not as important as the tag championship match, I think this is going to end up being Rhino and Heath Slater.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, you know, there's a whole lot of people. Also, Bully Ray, I'm told, will be there, right? Because they're doing aces and eights thing. Bully Ray's going to be there.
All right.
There's a lot of guys that could show up. Oh, maybe. You know what? Maybe it's going to be Ryder and Myers.
For some reason, I highly doubt that.
I think
those guys are going to be AEW bound because they're like buddies with everybody there.
But what do you do with them? You know what I mean? Like, I get it. But they have a lot of abundant talent right now on their roster. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they were going to do a second show on TNT.
Right.
Right. Now that's on hold, obviously, because they don't want to add any more production strain or cost to producing content. They have AEW After Dark, which airs online, but what are they going to do with that second show? What are they going to do? You know, that's why their roster's still stacked. But if they don't add that second show, do you see AEW doing some cuts?
No. You know, here's
like Austin Gunn.
No, I don't think they're going to cut anybody, dude. I think they're fine just the way they are. They're sustainable. They have the money to do it. you know, TNT loves them apparently. There's tons of AEW commercials everywhere. So I think they're in a good spot. And, you know, when arenas open up, they're going to be doing even better. And plus, they're not paying these guys per house shows. They're just paying them for TV, right?
Yeah. They just paid their downside in their merch sales. That's how they do it.
Here's my pitch for Ryder and Zack Ryder and Brian Myers showing up on AEW. They are the AEW Dark Internet Tag Team Champions, bringing back like the internet kind of belt since Dark is just on YouTube.
I'm going to tell you something. I think that's one of the best ideas you've had for that company.
Really?
I think that's brilliant. I think that makes so much sense. I genuinely
put it in an envelope.
I'm not saying this condescendingly. Maybe it came off a little bit that way. I felt like you were surprised that I said it, but I feel like it's one of that would make so much sense to inject those guys in there that they become the internet champions, and that'll be their gimmick, almost like how Stevie Richards did the Stevie Knight Heat thing on Sunday Night Heat. Do something like that. Make it their show. You know, it's on the internet. They're the internet champions. They can do whatever the hell they want, and I would definitely be down with that.
Put that into an envelope, write Tony Khan on it, and throw it in a mailbox.
Yeah, that's it. Beautiful.
That's it. And also, you're a lot of things, but you're not. You're never condescending.
I'm never condescending. Well, not with you.
No. Are you condescending with everybody?
I come off like that sometimes.
Like when Deacon hands you a wine, you're like, oh, I guess this is it, huh?
Well, I guess this will do.
I guess this is...
You know what I do, however, and people, I didn't realize people get annoyed, and I try not to do it as much. So let's say you say something really good, right?
Fart in public? Yeah.
I'll repeat the idea because I'm, in my mind, I'm processing that it's a good idea, but some people take it that I'm pitching the idea after it was said to me.
You're doing broadcast 101.
I can't get out of it, and I never did this until like a couple years ago, where like the shows kind of take over the way that you process questions, where I'll, like, you'll say, like, you know, give me an idea, and I'll show you.
I just gave you one. I'm going to give you a better one?
No, say the same thing again.
So my idea for Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins showing up in AEW is have them on Dark and have them be the AEW Dark Internet Champions since that show is on the internets.
You know, I'll tell you, if you have Ryder and Myers on AEW After Dark, I think that would be perfect. See, and then people think I just took your thought and made it into mine, which I didn't.
No, you're doing broadcasting 101. You're taking a beat, you're repeating it, and then you're going to turn that into a sound clip later.
Exactly. And then I'm just going to...
That's it. That's fine.
Get into the tub. I know what listen back.
I know what you're doing, dude.
I think a lot of people don't, especially if I'm sitting at a bar and I'm starting to do an interview on people. I'm starting to interview people.
That's a little weird if you do it in public.
Let's see. Oh, Sarah Logan, maybe. No, Sarah Logan's pregnant.
Yeah, so that's not...
That's not happening. You know. Yeah, that's not happening.
It would be great. ATM Paul in the chat room just gave me an idea. Wherever they say TBD, it's the big dog. It's just Roman Reigns showing up.
The big dog.
Would you lose your shit if, like, Roman showed up at AEW and tagged with Moxley?
As Joe, what's his last name? Anoa?
Is Joe Anoa'i?
Anoa'i. Would he be? What would they call him if Roman Reigns left? Would he be Joe?
He'd be the big dog.
The big dog, Joe.
That's it, you know, or like the Joe dog.
Like, I feel like John Moxley worked because he was John Moxley at one point.
Right.
But I always think, like, it's weird when they leave and they use their real names. Like, Allison Anderson, those are their names, so it works out. Mm-hmm. Joey Dogs, that's the one.
He'd be Florida Joe.
Yeah, ATM Paul.
Florida Joe. I think, would you completely lose your mind if Roman Reigns showed up, if like Moxie was in trouble, let's say with the Inner Circle, he's getting his ass kicked every single week, and or all the heels, and then all of a sudden this dude, this giant Samoan, does this run in. Would your head hit the ceiling?
I would love it. Just call him on a Y. Just call him on a Y. That's it.
Ultimate fanboy booking. And it would be the most hysterical thing in the world, I think. And then Sabu shows up for some reason.
Always ends with Sabu. Let's do Extreme Rules. Well, the horror show at Extreme Rules this Sunday on the WWE Network. Yuck. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to start off with a yuck. So here we go. You're going to have the New Day versus Cesaro and Nakamura in a tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Apollo Crews versus MVP for the United States Championship, which who knows who's the champion right now, because MVP has a title, because he claims he's the champion. I don't know why. You're going to have Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins in an eye for an eye match. The match can only be won when the competitor extracts an eye of the opponent. And I quote.
It's so stupid. Okay. I think this is them writing Rey Mysterio out of the company, and they do like a fake eye thing.
Oh my god, what are they gonna do? They're gonna take his eye out?
I think they're gonna do a thing.
Stupid.
Yeah, they're gonna do a thing where, because like Rey has a lot of places on his outfit where he can hide like a fake eyeball, right? And I think that's gonna be the end of it. Is like Seth takes his eye out, Rey Mysterio leaves, and that's it. Rey Mysterio is done with WWE. Rey Mysterio shows up. Rey Mysterio and Sabu show up on AEW next week.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no words. Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt in a swamp fight, because they're both swamp people. People forget that. They're both swamp people. Braun Strowman is a swamp person. That was his gimmick. Yes. And Bray controlled his mind. With gases from the swamp. So now they're having a swamp match. Which is bizarre. I'm watching SmackDown right now. Matt Riddle, with his terrible mushroom tattoo on the side of his stomach, crawling for the ropes with a calf crusher.
I think that's just a really penis.
You think so? You think the mushroom's a penis? Bayley versus Nikki Cross for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Can we go back 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's kind of cool that they're basically doing like a Three Faces of Foley thing with Bray Wyatt at this point, you know?
Because he's fiend, he's Bray, and he's the swamp guy.
Right. And I think him as like classic Bray Wyatt with the swamp is a really good idea for this match. But this isn't for the title, though, right?
This is for the title. No, it's not for the title. It is not a title match.
Okay.
So I guess Bray wins?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Bayley versus Nikki Cross, that should be fun.
Bayley versus Nikki Cross, yeah. Okay, that's fine. I think the big story is, does Sasha win the title?
No.
Against Asuka?
You know what, yes. I'll say yes, because I think as an FU to people who hate Sasha and Bayley at this point, they're going to put all the titles on them.
I think it's phenomenal. I love
I really like them. Yeah, I enjoy Sasha and Bayley. I like their heelness. They remind me of kind of like, they're like kind of a throwback, right? Where like, it's weird, like in my head when I see Bayley now, I think of like, this is totally off, but I think of Bull Nakano and Sherry Martel. Like like mushed into one person. Might be the blue tights.
It might be the blue tights. I love what they're doing with them, too. So that's a positive. And then you have the main event. It's a to-be-determined match. It's a turnbuckle Dan match for the WWE Championship with Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph has only won one match this entire year. I want you to remember that.
Yeah.
So you have, this is your main pay-per-view. This is your match. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Why? Why is that
listen,
the match?
They need to, it's probably in Dolph's contract that he needs to headline like a pay-per-view. He was endorsed by The Rock, I think, yesterday, and The Rock was like, yo, this guy should be your WWE champion.
But why? Like, what do they know that we don't?
Clearly there's something with Dolph that we have no idea about.
Listen, the guy is the guy is great every time. Every time they need him, he's there. So he's one of those guys, right? And they're not going to turn their back on them. He's very stable. There's no problems with him. He's a company guy. He plays by the rules. He does everything the right way. I understand rewarding that, right? But now you're trying to build captivating TV. Is this a captivating show that you need to see? No.
Me personally? No.
It's not. No. And that's really disappointing. Because next month is SummerSlam. Mm. This is a big show. And they really don't have anything built for this show. They don't have anything built. I guess the match is going to be, I guess what they're going to build to for SummerSlam is Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. That's going to be a match for SummerSlam. I could see that. The original idea was that Brock Lesnar would return and face Drew. That's not going to happen. They're not going to use Brock Lesnar on an empty building. So that's out the window. I have no idea. Braun Strowman was not supposed to be their champion. That was a placeholder for Roman Reigns. And the hope was that Roman Reigns comes back in the summer and wins the title back. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. We don't know what's happening with Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
This is a disaster.
This is a nightmare.
It really is. It's a horror show. This is why they are calling it the horror show, because they couldn't. Everything that they've decided fell apart.
Yeah, it seems like they're in a state of like eternal flux at this point, huh?
I think it's for everybody too. You know, AEW is suffering from the same thing too. People are questioning why they're rushing stuff and why they're holding back on stuff. It's because they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't know what to do right now. They're in a weird position where everything is in limbo. Everything is up in the air. Not great. Not great, but we'll figure it out. Guys, get your questions ready. Submit your questions. Rich has to be out in about 15 minutes. Rich has to go somewhere. So we're going to end the show. I think last week, we did like an hour 35. So we're not going to go an hour 35 today, obviously. We're going to keep it at the normal time.
An hour 10.
There is a good chance I may be doing a watch along for Slammiversary tonight. So let's see. I'll announce that later on in the afternoon if I'm doing it. If not, whatever. I'll just live tweet it. I'll hang out and I'll live tweet it. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. All right. Submit your questions in the chat room. Ask us anything you want regarding pro wrestling or about us too. You can do that. Also,
personal questions are on the table.
Personal questions are on the table. You could submit your questions. Yes.
Do you like Dolph Ziggler?
I think he's very talented, and if there was a moment to pull the trigger on him, it was 10 years ago.
Ooh.
I think now it's just a guy, just a body. That's the problem.
He's just like another body.
Just another body.
Well, while the questions load up in the chat room, let me ask you something. Is there any...
God, I forgot.
Yes.
We forgot the biggest story. Holy shit. Thank you, MGG, for the reminder. New Japan.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How do we forget this?
I think because it happened at the beginning of the week, and now it's Saturday.
Guys, Naito lost both titles to Evil.
Crazy.
Evil is the IWGP Heavyweight Champion and the IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Did you watch both nights? Did you watch like the night before for the Cup and then watch Dominion?
I watched both of the Evil matches.
Okay.
Honestly, in my opinion, that was one of the greatest Bullet Club turn reveals of all time.
It came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you though, it looked great that they ran a show with about 3,000 people in the building.
Mm.
The crowd was told not to yell and scream, but to clap. Guess what everybody did? They effing clapped. They followed the rules.
Right,
not happen. If WWE made an announcement in let's say the Garden, right? The Garden now has 3,000 people. They make an announcement. They say, guys, listen, do us a favor. No yelling, no screaming. We don't want saliva to kind of transfer and all this stuff. How about this? Can you guys just clap? You know what the crowd would chant? F you.
Right, exactly.
That is the
You're not
difference.
Taking away my freedom.
That's the difference between us and the Japanese. You tell us to sit down and be quiet. We're going to say, F you. Who the hell do you think you are to tell us?
You cannot take my freedom. And then everybody takes their mask off and they just all cough in each other's mouth.
That's it. And then they just start making out and it becomes, they take their clothes off. They start oiling up and everybody's just rubbing on each other.
That's it. Kiss
and that's
tongue,
how babies
dude.
Are made, boys and girls. I was actually shocked. Now, the plan from the beginning, this wasn't a Goto freaking out and booking this. This was a plan for Evil for the year. They really wanted to build this guy as the top guy, one of the top guys. What a surprise this was. out of nowhere.
100%, dude. Like, honestly, I thought if anybody was going to turn from LIJ, it was going to be Sonata.
Oh, you know what? I would have thought Sonata too. Or Hiromu.
Right?
How about Hiromu?
Not Hiromu, because he just came back. I think he has to coast on the babyface thing for a while.
Well, he has the light heavyweight title, right?
Right. But I really enjoyed that Bullet Club turn, like the big reveal, and Naito going for the Tranquilo, and then the turn into the two sweet. That was one of the best Bullet Club reveals. My favorite one may have been Marty.
So a week prior, we were talking about Dick Togo. Remember that?
Yes, we were.
Yeah. I was told that Dick Togo is in New Japan. He's going to be doing something with the Bullet Club. Okay. I did not know this is what they were going to do. So when I brought
it up,
it's funny. I brought up Dick Togo, and then that following day after we released the show, somebody said, it's like, oh, by the way, Dick Togo's going to New Japan. I was like, oh, and he goes, oh, he's going to do something with the Bullet Club. I'm like, okay, that's weird, but okay. I didn't see it. Like, it didn't do anything for me, right? Marty reveal, you're right. The Marty reveal was great also. That was another great reveal. So I was shocked that this is where they went. I'm actually excited to see what they do. People are crapping all over Evil. Dude, give the guy a shot. See what happens. Obviously, there's a reason why they're doing this, right? And now he's the leader of the Bullet Club.
Well, listen, all those OG guys are out because of the travel ban. So I think this is their best bet to... You know, they're kind of like, all right, we need to put more emphasis on the stable again. So let's have Evil do it. And this is going to obviously eventually lead into another civil war, right?
I don't know. Well, the first one, they did not do properly. That first civil war did not work. Mm-hmm. But my God, if there was ever an opportunity to say, you know what, let's end this feud with Kenny Omega and the Bucks. Now you could do the Bullet Club returns.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then you could have a real civil war between the new guys and the old guys. You know, you could have Kenny and the Bucks, because Kenny can work in Japan if he wanted to. I know right now the relationship isn't that great, but you have Kenny show up, you have the Bucks show up, you have the
Gallows and Anderson
show up to defend Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, and you know, you do that whole thing. And now you created the civil war, I think, and that would be a great way to bridge the two brands together, which they need to.
I'm going to tell you something.
Right now, I'm hearing that relationship with Ring of Honor is a little bit...
Yeah, of course. I think if you're going to do the civil war thing, I think your bet would be kind of Bullet Club old school. So you'd have Gallows Anderson, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Jay White and Bad Luck on one side, and then all the new guys, you know, like Kenta, Evil, Guido, Jado, like all those dudes, and then that's how you kind of hash it out. You know, I don't think you have to involve the elite guys because they're so out of the picture at this point, you know?
Who's in the Bullet Club? Do we have a list of everybody in the Bullet Club right now?
There's a lot of dudes in the Bullet Club now.
Okay, current members, you ready? Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Dick Togo, El Fantasmo, Evil, Ghetto, Hikulio.
That's Hikulio. the other Tonga brother.
Brother. Okay. I got very confused. Jado, Jay White. I don't know why there's a V
Kenta.
Here. What does that mean? There's a V next to him. Oh, he's okay. Jay White's the leader, but he's not. Okay.
Right.
Kenta, Ishimori, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Yujiro Takahashi.
And Pimp Juice.
Yeah, that's Pimp Juice. So I guess who's the oldest member right now? Bad Luck Fale,
like
May 3rd.
Bad Luck and Tama Tonga, right?
Yeah. Oldest members.
Look at
this list of talent they had in here. Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Former members. Adam Cole, AJ Styles. Bone Soldier's gone.
Right.
Half the New Japan is gone. Bone Soldier. Cody. Cody Hall. Doc Gallows. El Terrible.
Yeah.
He was in Bullet Club?
El Toro was the, he was one of the originals, but mm-hmm. it was very short-lived.
Frankie Kazarian, Hangman Page, Jeff Jarrett, Carl mm-hmm. Anderson, Kenny Omega, Marty.
Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson.
Matt Devitt. Jackson, Nick Jackson. Who's this other one? La Comrade?
La Comandante?
Yeah, who the hell is that? I don't remember that.
It's he's a luchadora, but again, that was the first year of the Bullet Club, and she was only in it for 2 months.
Okay. I mean, just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable list of people that were in this group. Haku!
But I do... Haku, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right, guys, give us your questions. We got to wrap it up in 5 minutes, so let's do some rapid-fire questions.
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell, Bullet Club. Anything coming up, Rich? Any questions?
Let's see. Enzo to the Bullet... Jonathan says Enzo to the Bullet Club.
I would love that. Can you imagine him?
Honestly, I think it would be the biggest FU and heel move if Jericho had Enzo take Sammy's place for like 2 months.
Oh my God.
Dude. Would you like that or no?
I would love to see Enzo in that group. Can you imagine mm-hmm. him and LAX?
Oh, it would be so, like,
can you imagine the promos?
Gold, dude. Gold.
Him in the Puerto Rican gear? Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Like that, say what you want about Enzo, but that guy has always been golden on the microphone. And I think if you put him in the inner circle with,
love it,
with Ortiz and Santana and Jack Hager and Jericho, forget it. You know, because he could be the fall guy for every single match, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. People are going to think we're nuts. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else do we have here?
Let's see. In a bizarro world, fantasy booking for cross promotional WWE and AEW champs and women's champs. I'm not sure I got the question.
What would we want to see?
Yeah.
Cross promotional matches? Okay, let's do that. Okay, let's do it. Cross promotional matches. What's the big match? What's the main match? Obviously, you're going to get Triple H versus Cody.
He said for the women's champs. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. You're right. Go ahead. We can do both.
I would say the big match, one of the big match, Triple H versus Cody, for sure.
Okay.
Roman Reigns versus Kenny Omega.
Okay. I'd go John Cena, Kenny Omega.
John Cena, Kenny Omega. Man, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Who does Jericho face?
Who hasn't he faced that's on the main roster is kind of like, yeah.
Maybe John Cena, Chris Jericho.
I wouldn't want to see that. Wouldn't excite me. I feel like current Chris Jericho versus a current WWE guy. The Fiend.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm okay with that. I would have the Bucks face the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I would do the Bucks and a New Day.
Sure.
Who does Styles face? Styles and Hangman. I could do Styles and Hangman.
That's interesting. I would go Styles and Pac.
Styles and Pac. Who does Drew face?
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Wardlow.
Wardlow. You see, and MJF.
Mm-hmm. MJF
and Dolph
see.
Ziggler. MJF and Dolph.
That's good. That's a good combo. I would have said MJF and Adam Cole, but Dolph works better.
I don't know. We could just play around with that. Jonathan says, when is Tubman, Matt Wives, and Matt Pranos airing? When Rich mm-hmm. shows up here, we'll do Tubman.
Yeah. We're going to have to do Tubman.
We'll do Tubman.
My buddy had a great idea, and I'm stealing it, because I was telling him about Matt Pranos, and he was like, why don't you just call it Made Men? And I'm like, I'm so stupid.
Made Men is really good, but I kind of like Matt Pranos because it's so stupid.
Right.
Have you nailed a date for Matt Men Jacuzzi Edition? When Rich feels comfortable entering a tub with bubbles with me.
People really want to know that about that.
Not because of the homoeroticism that exists, mm-hmm. just because of, you know, the quarantine and everything.
Just two cool buds.
Just two cool
dipped
buds.
Dipped in suds.
I got it. It's perfect. We'll do it for my tub in my my master bath. Mm-hmm. We'll have the microphone set up. We could do the mic set up. We'll have we'll have some champagne. We'll have bubbles everywhere. It'll be wonderful.
I'm with you.
We'll
is this a date?
Bomb.
You're trying to convince.
It is
you're
a
trying
date.
To convince me to go on a date.
And then Jess is going to be dressed up like a butler, and she'll be serving us like pigs in a blanket, like past hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. Little quiches. She'll come by and she'll have us little quiches. She'll do pigs in a blanket, shrimp, like shrimp
little
cocktail, little avant-bouche. Perfect. Crudité platter and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Your artwork is done. Yeah, Jonathan already made the artwork, so we're ready for this. We just got to, Rich just has to show up here, and we got to do it. That's all.
I got to thank Jonathan for making a GIF out of the world's greatest dab the other day.
Which one? What did he make? Oh, the dab. Yeah, the dab GIF. Love it. Love it.
They've been dabbing.
So let's apparently everybody wants this. People are clamoring for tub men.
This shit's good. You're going to see my hairy chest.
It's okay. Look at, I got a little bit of hair.
Yeah, my rip tan, your shirt off.
I'm going to tell you, my tan is so even right now. I got a beautiful
good for
even
you,
tan.
Man. Yeah, people my are going to see how smooth. Uneven and lumpy my body is.
And then you know what's going to happen? All my dead skin is going to come floating to the top.
Ugh.
Rich is going to leave with half my skin on him. You know what,
though?
Not
appetizing.
You know what is daunting? The unbalance of skin tone between the both of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
you,
like, my body's...
We are on totally separate ends of the spectrum.
Oh, no, I have, like, a very effed up skin tone because, like, my arms are pretty tan, but then, like, my face is pasty, my chest is pasty. I mean, like, I'm all over the place.
I've achieved a very unnatural skin tone for a white man. This is not. I'm achieving this orangish. It's a Thanksgiving turkey. That's what I've reached. I've hit the Trumpian skin tone, which I love. You know what? He envies this. If Trump could have this color, he would be so happy in life. A lot of these problems would go away. I think that's his goal. He's trying to hit this color.
My
color. Andrew went full Hogan. Never go full Hogan, says Lewis in the chat. No, man, I'm going even darker. I'm going to see how far I could go.
It's George Hamilton is the next step.
I'm achieving the George Hamilton look. You know when I'll stop? When Shin tells me it's enough. That's what I'm waiting for. Shin, you will determine when I stop tanning.
I don't think he's in the chat room anymore.
He is. He was here.
I know he was here. I don't think he's here anymore.
Shin, if you're here, you're in charge.
You should bleach your. You should definitely bleach your facial hair.
Oh, what color? Blonde?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, dude.
Well, you saw what happened to my hair, right?
You tried to do like frosted tips or something?
I did not. I put sun in my hair. And it's a whole different color now. It's like this
bizarre
brown.
Babe, I'm going to do frosted
brown.
Tips.
Bro, can I get some
tips?
Babe, I'm going
to do tips. Is that cool?
Babe, can you do my tips?
Dude, just bleach your hair, dude. That'd be amazing.
Blonde?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'd love to see a blonde mustache on you.
Shin says you will never stop tanning. I don't know if that's a command or that's just an opinion. He might be commanding
you
to never stop.
He said only once. Stop only when you look like charcoal.
I'm okay with that, man. That's fine. That's when
I'll
stop. That's
going.
When I stop.
He's gonna tan so hard that the end of the spectrum is him just being albino.
That's what I've hit.
That's it.
All right, perfect. Any more questions before we wrap it up? We got 2 minutes here, guys. We're ending it. Tim just showed up and he's late. Sorry, Tim.
He's like, I missed
here.
The show.
Sorry, man. We're at the end. We're at the Q&A segment. So submit your questions. Any more questions? And I said, dude, my day. I'm gonna get a couple beers. And I'm just gonna chill. That's it.
That sounds great, man.
That's it, man.
It's a good day right there, dude.
That's it. Tim's a huge Gallows and Anderson fan. I think all of us are.
Excellent.
We'll see him.
Great.
We'll see them tonight. We'll see what they do tonight on Slammiversary. Watch along tomorrow. So I'm not committing because my weekends are really nuts with the kids and everything. Yeah. So I'm going to we got a bunch of couple hours, right? I'm going to go outside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fill up the kiddie pool for them. I'm going to get a couple drinks. I'm going to see how I feel. What time is Slammiversary tonight?
Probably 8 o'clock, right?
Slammiversary. Let's see, what time is this show? Taking place in the Skywalk Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. What time does this show go on? I don't know. Somebody in the chat room probably knows. Probably 8, probably 7. I don't know. Something along those lines, right? Andrew from Sapphire Pool after Andrew's home, Sapphire Pool after dark. I may have to turn my house into Sapphire's Pool after dark if we can't open the clubs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Assuming that gif you tweeted yesterday of AJ Lee, what is the situation here? Was she supposed to appear? She was not supposed to appear last night. I'll just say that.
Just likes AJ Lee.
I just like AJ Lee, bro. It's nothing more. I'm hearing I'm hearing that there's interest in her. That's it.
Cool.
We'll see what happens, because there is a women's pay-per-view coming. They should be announcing it. It was supposed to be August 30th, that women's pay-per-view. So maybe they're delaying it by a month. Yeah. Remember I told you that I was told by somebody at one of the networks that there was a pay-per-view the week after SummerSlam?
Oh, yeah.
So SummerSlam was the 23rd. Okay. When they told me this, I initially thought they were going to run some sort of international show. That's the only thing that made sense to me, because they were going to do live events, and it's possible that there was going to be the 23rd. Let me see. I'll tell you. I'm sorry. Let me just look at the calendar. Mm. So technically the date was supposed to be July 24th. So this Friday, we were going to have a live show. From Lakeland, Florida. 27th was going to be Raw, and they were going to go live after this. And at SummerSlam, their hope was that they were going to be live. Unfortunately, that's not happening. So what they've done, SummerSlam will not be in front of a live audience, but they are still hoping that that 30th will be the first live show, right? That was the hope.
Okay.
Now they're saying, not August. We're looking at more like September, but August 30th, September 1st, very close, right? So it's very possible that August is still the number.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would have been the big thing where they go live with the women's show as the first live show in North America. By the way, dude, you know what I've been watching? Korean baseball.
Oh, yeah?
Korean baseball, Japanese baseball, Taiwanese baseball. Very into this.
Because there's no sports on TV. I've been playing a lot of basketball lately.
You know what's my team? The Doosan Bears. Mm. That's my team.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
The Doosan Bears are my team. They're 37 and 26. They're like the Mets.
That's cool.
They faced off against the Kia Tigers. Mm. Blowout. 6-0. Very much into this.
Are you putting bets?
I'm putting bets. Me and Bob. Yeah, we go to like the old Korean cafes and we just bet on Korean baseball now.
Is Bob your bookie?
Bob's my bookie. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He takes all my money. Who's the hacker? Jonathan says AJ Lee's the hacker.
That's pretty good.
That'd be cool. That and X-Men Days of Future Past. What are we doing? We're watching X-Men?
Well, Batcher 3000 said that he's gonna watch Hamilton. He's gonna drink tequila, watch Hamilton, and then watch Days of Future Past.
Do you know a lot of people had no idea it's a musical?
What, Hamilton?
Yeah.
Or Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past. That's a musical, right?
Do you have the Disney Channel? Did you watch Hamilton?
I have yet to watch Hamilton. No, I haven't watched it yet.
You're gonna love it. It's great.
I should. Yeah, I just need time to watch it. Tim says, Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful told us about this channel. I'm going to tell you about Sean. Sean is a mensch. He's a good boy. Sean is a really good guy. I talk to him probably every week. We just go back and forth with some. I generally message him when I'm hearing stuff. And I just want to kind of confirm it. But Sean is one of the only few people in this business that gives proper credit to everybody.
He seems like a nice guy.
Every time that we talk about it or... You know, I bring up an idea. I'm not even giving him the scoop, right? I'll just be like, hey, this is what I heard. What do you hear? What do you see? He'll always be like, by the way,
what do you hear? What do you see?
What do you hear? What do you see? He will always be like Andrew Zarian, Madman Podcast, Andrew Zarian, one of the nicest guys in the business. Just a total mensch.
Where is he?
I want to say, I don't know. I should know this though. I want to say Cincinnati.
Okay. He gets a lot of undue flack online, I think.
I know. It's from people that are jealous, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Sean from? Let's find out.
Has he been in your studio the whole time?
He's from Kentucky. Okay. I don't know why I thought Cincinnati. Sean's been here this whole time, guys. What? Sean, come on out. No.
What's up, everybody?
Always gives us a lot of credit. He's a good dude. Very good guy.
He seems like it.
Cool. Bob says, did you hear what happened in Vegas? They didn't put the right adjusted time for the Korean baseball games. Oh, yeah. People were betting on games that were already completed.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Jonathan, I have one Funko Pop, and it's the Enzo and Cass double. I have plenty here behind me. By the way, I don't collect Funko Pops. This is a question I get constantly. I don't collect Funko Pops, but I like the aesthetic of them in the studio, and I've started randomly ordering Funko Pops that are even non-wrestling. Like, look what I got here.
Mm.
You know who this is?
It's Vegeta?
It's Raditz.
Raditz, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know why. I think what happens, I'm like a closeted Funko Pop collector now. I get drunk and I order them. And then I got
they're
like
very adorable.
They are adorable. I got Wolverine, I got Venom, I got multiple Kenny Omegas. Mm. I don't know why I ordered so many of those. I think
you're
I
like
gave
the
you
Funko
one.
Funko Popster.
Yeah, yes. I've become like a weird Funko. Wow, business idea. Let's make Funko Pop for porn stars. Who wouldn't want the Tory Black Funko Pop? Who wouldn't? So are we done? Is it done?
I think we're done.
Oh, you got to go. Sorry, Ray.
Yeah, I know.
All right, baby. It's all right. Listen, follow us on Twitter. I'll be giving an update on Twitter. Mattman Podcast on Twitter if I'm going to be going live tonight with Slammiversary. I really got to see how my day's going because I promised the kids that we're going to a Funko Pop. I love that, Adam. I promised my kids that we're going to do a whole thing outside with the pool and everything. So we're going to be doing that. Also, Rich, this next week, they're gutting my yard.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I'm doing the driveway. We're doing an outdoor kitchen. We're going to have an outdoor bar. It's going to be crazy.
Wow.
So when that's done,
we could do
it from outside. We could do Mat Men from outside.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll do something. So, guys, follow us on Twitter, Mat Men Podcast. You can follow me at Angel Zarian. Also, I want to, if you guys are here, do me a big favor. So I don't know if you guys saw the problem that we have. We lost our GFQ Twitter account. The Guys from Queens Twitter account is gone. No longer exists. Twitter has not responded to me. It's gone. Like, the username disappeared. The email address.
Disappeared, right?
Not associated with anything. Please.
Crazy.
Follow GFQ Network on Twitter. I'm begging you. We had 70. We had like 80,000 followers. It's gone. We're down to like 90 now. We had to start a new account. This is, it is bad. I mean, I've been very relaxed about this. But you're talking about 10 years of content gone on Twitter.
Crazy. Crazy.
Just
if anybody has seen the account, it's a missing account.
It's a missing
please
account.
Please let us know.
So, guys, please go follow GFK Network on there. You can follow Madman Podcast. You can follow me at Angel Zarian, BTC Rich. Follow us. We'll give you a little update. Also, the Facebook group, Discord. We have a whole list. Thank you to Jonathan, MG Geek, all our mods, Shin in the chat, Bob Rowe. Of course, Kevin with the $10 donation today. Thank you so much. Bachelor 3000, all the regulars. I know I'm missing names here, but my apologies. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
Later. Wow.